This is Stephanie Rodriguez, editor and producer of the Regenerate Revolution Life Soil Success podcast. We hope you enjoy this episode.
All right, everyone, welcome to the Regenerate Revolution podcast, where we talk about life, soil, and success. I'm your host, Mark Irvin from Green Grow. And today I have on the show Tommy, and she has the influencer handle Living Like Randalls on Instagram. So I wanted to give everyone an ability to learn about your bio real quick. So could you just tell us real quick about your quick life story and, you know, who you are and what you do?
Yes, that's going to be hard. Okay, so I am Tommy. We just recently moved to Wyoming. We are currently living in an RV. So basically, my husband was a police officer in Ohio for 16 years. We felt like the Lord was calling us away from that and was wanting to strip us. So we were in a new build. We had no intentions of leaving that. We were only in it for a year. We sold that. We found property in Wyoming, and we are currently on the journey to try to get there. So we are at a campground right now. But hopefully this spring, we'll be able to pull the RV out there and then start building our house and doing all the fun things.
No, I mean, that's perfect. And I've seen, obviously, your journey along the way, especially on your Instagram page, where, you know, you're burning through lots of important topics that almost anyone who's kind of living on grid, off grid, kind of homesteading, but not really homesteading. And then there's people that go full homestead right now. Right. So you have content that I feel like can resonate with all those different people, including just people that are looking for help with gardening from a perspective where it's like, hey, we're going to learn this together. You know,
yeah.
So the trials and tribulations of gardening, right? Especially in a state where you're going to have a shorter gardening window, I think like Wyoming, right?
Oh, yeah.
So what, I mean, we talked about, you know, the why you guys got to Wyoming and everything. What is it about kind of, you know, doing it yourself, you know, gardening and maybe light, I call it lightweight homesteading, you know, whatever you want to call the term,
right?
So what is it about that that kind of called to you over the last couple of years?
So we just really felt like I said, that God was trying to strip us and that he was wanting us to go back to the way that we feel he intended it, because we feel like he created us, you know what I mean? With a certain purpose, like with an intention. And we have very quickly gotten away from that. And we don't do a lot of things with our hands. We're not apt to want to go out and do the hard thing. We want to kind of stray away from that because it's easier.
Yeah.
And we have so many conveniences, you know, right at our fingertips now that we don't have to do that. But we just, for the first times in our lives, when we moved into the new build, we just weren't content.
Yeah.
And he was stirring something up in us. And that's exactly what it is. And now, I mean, because we live about 45 minutes from our property. So we have to go out there every day, and it's super hot and dry here in Wyoming. So we're driving out twice a day to water. We just got water about halfway through this past summer. So we were filling a huge tank in the bed of the truck. And then we had jugs that you like see at the doctor's offices where you can get the water. And we were hand watering me and, you know, all of the kids. And so it's just really, it's been super fulfilling for us.
Of course.
And enjoying this.
Yeah. I mean, I share in that story a little bit to a small degree, because, you know, we were living in California, and then we were living in like Portland, Vancouver, Washington area. And my wife was just like, yeah, we live in Idaho now. And she was like, we need to get out to Idaho. We want to be able to raise our kids the way we want to, you know,
right.
Definitely being moved by God as well. You know what I mean? And just wanting to live a life where we're not as, I don't want to say busy, because we're busy, but like not as busied up with like everything that happens in like a city life, or, you know, where you're constantly rushing and you're in rush hour traffic, and like half your day is spent doing that, and then you get home and you're exhausted, right? So we have kind of a similar
situation. And it's so funny because everybody says like, oh, like the slow life. Well, it's slow not because you're doing less, but because it takes longer. And I don't think a lot of people realize that. They just think like, oh, this slow life, like I'm not going to be doing anything. No, like it's slowed down because you are the one actually doing it. You don't have all of these fancy things doing it for you. You're not hiring people. But it's, again, it's so rewarding.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I want to kind of drill down onto like having that property, right? So, I mean, this is kind of what a lot of people are looking to do right now. This is it's a very common feeling, especially after COVID, where people are like, okay, let's get back to the basics of life. And, and what have we gone away from the last 50 to 75 years? And this one speaks really to me about like, you know, the food that you eat is medicine, right? And by working the land, land, which takes time, you know, and by growing organically in the way that we were meant to grow, the food is better for you. You feel better.
Yes.
And then you also like, there's something a little bit relaxing to me about working all day. I have a giant garden too. Working all day, getting it built, getting it fixed, getting it trimmed.
Yes.
And then you're tired at the end of the night. So you're not sitting there on your iPhone before bed for an hour until you fall asleep. You're just like, nah, I'm just going to hang out and talk to my family and then I'm just going to go to sleep.
Yes. Yes. So true.
Yeah. So I like that. And I mean, let's talk about the prep, right? Because that I think a lot of people want to know that. So you took some bare land and then what did you do?
Okay. So we have 35 acres and even though we're not there, like we wanted to be good stewards of what the Lord had given us. So the only thing that we could think really to do realistically, because I would love to have chickens and a cow and all of that right now, but was a garden, because although it's very hands-on, you can do that from a distance. So we just went out there and our neighbor, never had met him before, came over, introduced himself and was like, oh, you're putting up a garden? Let me brush hog this for you. So he came and he like got all the sagebrush bush out and you know, all of that. And so that was the start for us. And then we did till initially because I mean, it is the wild, wild west and this land has never been touched. So we tilled to get like the surface layer off and then we went in with a rake, raked it all out. And then we just dumped a lot of compost on it. And for us to get compost, it's about an hour and 15 minute drive. Mm-hmm. So we probably did, I'm going to say close to like 30 truckloads. So like, it was a lot. It was a lot because we don't know what we're doing first off. So we were just like, oh, we're just going to cover the whole garden area that we fenced in with compost because that just made sense. But
yeah. And I mean, I think you guys were on the right track in terms of like, you know, some of the land, especially in that area, might be carbon depleted, right? And carbon is like the building block of life. Everything that is life is carbon, right? So people are putting compost down because it's carbon. And, you know, to the listeners out there, I mean, I talk about this all the time. I mean, we need to have about 8% carbon in the soil. That's like the sweet spot for like microbes and everything to kind of start kicking off and doing their thing. So you're definitely on the right track by doing that. And I'm a huge fan of like, I've kind of coined the term low-till, right? Because in some areas of the country, they're like, no-till, no-till. And I get it. But there's some places where people just don't understand what the ground's like. And it's like, you have to at least get something to work with, you know? So incorporating compost into that soil after you did a light till on it. And then now we don't have to really till it again, right? Because it's there and we can kind of just incorporate.
Build from there.
Build from there. So, okay. So you guys got the compost in and then you guys did some planting or did you do some fertilization or what happened next?
So our first year was the previous summer. So not this past one, but the one before that. And we did nothing. We started the plants in the RV. We actually removed one of our couches from our slide out.
Yeah.
And we bought just like the metal shelving and we started like over 300 seeds. We had it all in there with the grow lights. And so we just popped them in the ground and we did get mulch and we just mulched the rows like where we, you know, had planted. And then that was pretty much the extent of it last year. Cause we didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know how to do it. So it just was like, well, we'll get it in the ground and go from there.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's a fair approach. And, you know, a lot of people, I find that most of the people I talk to online or even through social media, they over fertilize, they overdo it too much. Right. So, I mean, I think you guys did the right approach there. And, you know, people think that you need as much fertilizer as possible to grow plants, but really you don't. You need to get some in the ground and then the microbes start breaking it down and feeding it to the plant. Because the thing I've always taught is we're not feeding the plants, we're feeding the soil. And then once you feed the soil, the microbes are going to do their job and feed it to the plants. So, I mean, definitely that's what I like to teach. But I mean, from what I saw, I mean, you guys this year got some nice rows going. You guys,
Definitely did. Yeah. So we expanded it a little more, which I don't know what the square footage actually ended up being this year. But for next year, we want to expand it even more because we have really big goals for the garden. Like we want a huge flower garden and all of that. But the main thing is to feed us.
Yeah.
And so,
I mean, obviously this year you did some of our products. I'm assuming, I think a little bit to get the fertility up and to kind of get the plants kicking.
Oh yeah.
So do you know which products you were using to kind of to work with?
Oh yeah. Yeah. So we started out with the Earthshine. And I had come across you guys after the fact of planting. But I had already had my potatoes in, and I was like, it's not going to harm them. And we did have a successful garden last year. And the plants were really big and thriving, but not as big as this year, that's for sure. But I knew that the soil had been depleted a little bit, at least, because we had, that garden in there from last year. So I knew that we needed to replace something, but I'm not like a scientific type of person, you know what I mean? So I just need someone to like show me or tell me, like, hey, here's this, is what it does. Like, and I don't need any more information than that. Like, okay, I'm good, let's run with it. So, and of course, that's what we used was the Earthshine. Then we used the all-purpose fertilizer. We used the tomato and veggie. We used Bloom. I mean, we use so many products. And then of course, one of your newer products, the insect spray, we were using that because we had aphids. So yeah, it just was so good. And defense. We used defense, like we used it all.
Yeah, no, and I mean, and that's, we just try to make things that are simple for people that can get good results. And I mean, I'm not
Yes.
really here to talk necessarily about Green Growth products today, just more about the
Right.
experience of like, we wanted you guys to grow the best produce and fruits possible because we knew you were going to possibly be canning them or you're going to be preserving them.
Yes.
You're going to be,
Yes.
so maybe we should walk into that too. So you did have a big harvest this year, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, like some of our cauliflower plants were, and I have a video, like they were almost as tall as me. Like it was
Oh wow.
insane.
Oh wow. Yeah.
Yeah, they were massive.
And for
So
the
yeah,
people,
we do. We love. Okay.
well, no, I was gonna say for the people listening, I mean, I think this is a topic that people overlook sometimes is like your garden can produce so much more than you need for your family at that one time. So how do you approach
Yeah.
like preserving it or storing it or, so you can enjoy it throughout the winter?
Yeah, so I'm only bath canning right now, only because we are in the RV and we don't have the space, to make a long story short, for the actual like pressure canner. So we freeze a lot of things. We freeze, we dehydrate. And I do water bath can some of the items too. So we kind of do all approaches, just what we can fit, where we can fit it, and that's what I run with.
Yeah, and I think, and I actually started doing this year, and again, I'm learning every day too. And I didn't know that I could freeze my tomatoes. And I know that sounds stupid for
Oh
me because I should know everything, but
yeah.
I don't know everything. So we
Yeah.
had so many tomatoes that I was like, okay, what do we do with these now? And so,
Right.
you can can some, you can do whatever, but I found that I just took aromas and I just froze them perfectly
Yes.
whole. And now as we're getting into wintertime, we can pull them out, we can turn it
Yeah.
into stewed tomatoes, we can put it into like totally a lot of different diverse recipes. So like that's kind of
Yes.
my how I geek out on this whole thing is like having high quality produce or high quality vegetables in the wintertime.
Yeah.
I don't think people understand.
Yes.
When you go to the store, that stuff is depleted of almost all its mineral content. That's why
Oh
it doesn't
yeah.
taste as good. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's been sitting there for how long, But and the good thing too about freezing or even dehydrating, because you can, bring it back to life, is if you do have a big harvest, it can be overwhelming. And so you're like, I have all of this stuff. What am I going to do with it? And like a lot of times I know people are like, I'm just throwing it out. I'm just letting it go. Like I can't use all of this. And it's so easy. You literally wash it and you throw it, you know what I mean? In a bag in the freezer, or you just dice it really quick and you throw it in the dehydrator and it's like no time at all. So.
Yeah, I'd been getting these like, I grow peppers. I like hot peppers and like, and I don't think people understand it. When you really grow like a pepper plant the right way, I mean, like even a habanero bush. I mean, I had hundreds and hundreds of habaneros on
Oh,
one bush, and so, and
yeah.
same with jalapenos. And I had to like, I had to, so I did the same thing. I roasted them lightly, dehydrated them immediately, and then I ground a lot of them into a powder, and then we just
Yeah.
incorporate that powder into a lot of different things,
I
So.
just recently did that too, and I made like the crushed red pepper. And my husband was like, "How did you do that?" And I was like, "I crushed
Yeah, it's like it's people like have this mystery about how things get to the store shelves, and I'm always talking
They
about it. So
overcomplicate it.
it's like literally,
Yeah.
if you would see how they would do it at these big facilities, sometimes they have these giant, almost like these like solar arrays where they're just like they lay on some type of material for like an acre and they dry and they sun dry, and then from there they
Yeah.
wash them and then they brush them into pepper and then they throw it in a jar, So
Yes. I actually have some naturally drying right here, right now.
see,
Just
there you
right
go.
beside me. Yeah.
There you go. So when you're in an environment, right? So what is your growing season there?
It is very, very short. So I think we're 4A. I could be lying about that.
Yeah.
But basically, we can't put anything in the ground until after Mother's Day. And then the first frost, according to like all of my neighbors, they typically it's in September, but they were like, ever since you've moved here, like it's been super late. We don't know what's going on. We don't know what you've done. I'm like, well,
yeah.
I haven't done anything. But
yeah.
So I don't really know like when to say, because it's just been so crazy since we moved here and not the normal for Wyoming.
Yeah. And I mean, and you know, 4A, that's a tougher zone for sure. And I think if people want to know, that's the USDA has a zoning guide that you can, anyone can
Yeah.
pull up on Google for like where you live, that it tells you kind of optimal times to plant, times to harvest, and when to prep your garden. And so, you know, in California here, obviously it's, you really have almost a 9 month growing season, but you do have to prep the fields here. And that's what people forget to do all the time. So
right.
Here we have people prepping the fields November and December, and then they do another prep in March and then April. And usually they're planting in late April, you know. But I mean, here we have tomatoes growing right now, you know.
Yeah, that's
they're
crazy.
They're still growing. Like crazy. And I can tell you, I've already in Idaho, though, I've already, you know, winterized my garden. You know, what I do is, you know, I pretty much chop everything up and put it into a compost bag or a bin so I can kind of start trying to compost it. And then I will put a layer of, you know, a little bit of compost, and I'll put some the fermented biochar, the Earthshine down, and I'll kind of like lightly scratch it in and then just let the rains kind of water it in and start breaking things down.
Right.
And then in some areas, people recommend covering it. But on a large plot like you have, you really can't cover that. So
no,
you're just gonna let it happen, and you know it's gonna snow on it. It's gonna do whatever it does.
Yeah.
One thing I do recommend for everyone to do is, if you have a decent plot of land and you can, I would get a cover crop. You know, because you can put
right.
cover crop seeds down now, and then after the snow melts and the soil temperature gets up a little bit, you have a nice cover crop growing right before you know, go into planting season. And then you can kind of just gently till that in or remove it. And that's going to help keep all the
right.
nutrients left in the soil.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
We did leave a lot of the roots because I know that the Earthshine does help break
yep.
that down.
Yep.
The last year we didn't know that. So we were like, you know, digging everything up and making sure there was nothing left in there. And
yep.
so this year it was a lot easier for us
yep.
to kind of close the garden up.
Yeah. And a lot of people, you know, the roots still have so much nutrients left in it. And so when people use our Earthshine, which is the fermented biochar, there's some microbes that we ferment in there that are like decomposer microbes. And they're meant to be like the worker bees post-harvest, right? They'll sit there and they'll work as long as the soil is above, you know, 50 degrees, and they'll just decompose
right.
and decompose all the root and dead organic matter, which is kind of essentially composting, right? But these are little microbes that are like mycelium, which is kind of a form of a fungus, right? And it's a beneficial, you know, mushroom, we want to call it, but it's a microscopic mushroom.
Right.
And so those
yeah.
will break down and make the soil even better, because all the mycelium that it produces is also really rich for the soil too. And so I'm always a fan of that, having people incorporate both, you know, mycelium and beneficial bacteria into the soil. So you guys are going to have an better and better and better garden each year. That's the exciting part. It's like, I can't wait to see
yeah.
next year's garden.
Oh yeah.
You know, my plan, you know, for these products that I've made was that I wanted to be able to produce a 20-year garden in 5 years. That's always been like
oh, yeah.
my goal. And you can tell a garden you've been to that someone's been doing organic or regenerative farming on, that soil is so rich, so lush. It goes right in.
Right.
It's not hard. So
mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see the next 2 years of what's going to happen with you guys.
Yeah, and we don't have the best soil. So right up where we're building, it is bentonite clay. Like there's
yeah.
no like good stuff, but down where we chose to put the garden, it's pretty sandy and it's very rocky. So like for us to even get like the fence posts in was not good. But I've already noticed from the beginning of the year when we first were putting stuff in the ground versus to when we just planted our garlic, it was night and day. Like we were like, you know, really trying to get in there before. And then after using all the products all summer, literally, like I just barely was putting the shovel in there. And I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
This is amazing.
Yeah. I mean, you know, regenerative farming is something that, you know, I think is going to be the next 25 years of what we're going to hear from everyone, because we've done
right.
the green revolution the last 50 years of chemical fertilizers, precision applied,
right.
and the soils are depleted. So
Breathe life into your soil with GreenGrow, organic, sustainable, all-in-one soil additives for your gardening and farming needs. With the highest quality, non-harmful ingredients, locally sourced, GreenGrow promotes probiotic soil building that will nurture and help your soil flourish, maintaining a living soil system for your plants to thrive. Easy-to-use products for all stages of growing. You take pride in what you grow, and so do we. Grow only the best with GreenGrow Biologicals. Order online or find your nearest location where GreenGrow products are sold.
I think people are going to get more into this regenerative gardening thing. And plus, you know, it tastes so much better that I think people just, once they do it, it's an important thing. But, you know, what else are you guys working on then? Like, what is, you know, what do you guys do in the wintertime? Obviously, it's an off season in terms of the heavy lifting. So what happens in terms of like your guys' plan in the wintertime?
Honestly, we just kind of plan for the next year. So this will be our third garden. So we're going to start planning that out. Like I said, we do want to expand it. And I know that the expansion will make it 9,000 square feet. And then each year we just want to expand a little bit more. But so we're going to work on the expansion as much as we can, you know, weather cooperating. And then Mike, really, my husband, wants to put up a greenhouse. So we're going to kind of see if we can get that in the works and all of that, because like we can grow the plants in here in the RV, but it's not ideal, you know? So it would be nice to have a place where we could actually start them and, you know, just do all of the greenhouse things.
Well, I mean, a greenhouse would be incredible because we could definitely work on some stuff, you know, with you guys on that.
Yeah.
You know, I think one thing that we touched on earlier that I wanted to bring back up is like, you know, seeds, right? And growing from seed. And, you know, people, there's a lot of heirloom varieties. There's a lot of organic non-GMO varieties. And I think that's probably what direction you guys have gone. And, and definitely I'd recommend to everyone, I mean, if you haven't grown heirloom varieties of plants, I mean, try it, because the flavors are different. The plants look a little different. They taste better. And it's, again, it's, there's no genetic modification, and people don't really are, a lot of people just don't know where their food comes from, right? And so my mission is to kind of teach them that. And it, you could buy seeds from the store, but they could be genetically modified seeds already, which means they've inserted snippets of DNA to make certain things hardier or have certain effects. But my philosophy in life is that most of these gluten intolerant or celiac people across the world, that didn't exist 40 years ago. Right? Yep. Very, very, very rare. Right. And so my thought was that, you know, they made all these wheat varieties that are Roundup ready, and they also have like, you know, other beneficial factors. It did something to the protein in the plant. And now the gluten is causing people to have really bad digestive issues and health problems. Right. And so I recommend to anyone, if they're have the space, grow some heirloom wheat varieties, because then you can take those, turn them into flour, of course, and store them indefinitely. And then you can make bread, you can make whatever you want with it. And it's like, you know,
and that's a huge goal of mine, is to start growing our own wheat, because I do grind my own, but I don't have my own wheat berries yet. So that's going to be a whole nother thing that's tackled probably in the next couple of years. But speaking on the heirloom varieties, it's super cool too, because it's stuff that you don't see in the grocery stores. Like, we just ate potatoes day before yesterday, and they were purple. And my kids were like, this is the coolest thing ever, like purple potatoes. And like, you don't find that in the stores. And like, our carrots are red and yellow and purple. And, you know, it's just really fun. Our cauliflower is purple. Like, and the kids just love it. And that's one thing I get asked a lot, is how do you get your kids to eat all of this? Well, first off, them being hands-on, they have put so much hard work into this garden, that they want to like get that satisfaction of trying, you know what I mean? The item, whatever it is that we've grown. And also just like, you know, it's so different from the grocery store stuff that it excites them. And they're like, oh, I've never seen something like this before. Like, we have to try this and that. And so it's just really cool.
We've been growing purple potatoes now for 2 years. And we're going to keep doing it because my kids love them. They love the flavor of them. They're like almost creamier, and they have more nutritious value to them. And anything that's like deep, dark purple or anything like that has anthocyanins in it. And those are really helpful for your diet and your vision and a lot of different other health benefits. And I think people have gotten away from that because most potatoes are just white or russets, or, you know, the cauliflower is white, or, you know, they're just, they're not thinking about those things. So I mean, I have my daughter super engaged in our garden. She does a lot of the amending. She knows how all the products work now. She's
Right. I
planting,
love
and
it.
then she cannot wait. It's like an Easter egg hunt for her every time the potatoes are ready. She's like, she just
Oh,
wants to
yeah.
dig through the garden and get as many of them as she can. Yeah.
Yeah, and I said for my husband and I, it was like an adult treasure hunt. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? Like it was just so fun to be able to get into the soil with our bare hands and try to find them. Because this was the first year that we've grown potatoes. We didn't
Yeah.
grow potatoes our first
Yeah.
year, so it was just really fun.
And those are great because you can store them for a long time.
Right.
And I like that. But yeah, I mean, I think getting your children into the gardening practice is building the next generation of gardeners. And
Absolutely.
getting out of the city, like we talked about in the beginning, so many kids nowadays, even into their 20s and 30s, have no clue how to garden, how it works, what to
Yeah.
do, any of that
And where
stuff.
their food comes from.
And
Like
where
they
the food
think that
comes
it's
from.
just in a lab, which nowadays it technically kind of is in a lab,
Yeah.
but
Yeah, and I've walked a lot of facilities, and people don't realize like most of the tomatoes in the country are grown in California, but they're grown in sterile environments
Yeah.
hydroponically with like precision liquid nutrients with no soil,
Right.
and that's why when you bite into it, it tastes like either water or nothing. So yeah, I'm trying to get everyone away from that. So what other things do we want to go over today? I know we want to talk about kind of what your, mission has been on your page, right? I think your Instagram page, and you might have a TikTok, I'm not sure, but
No, I
what
don't
are,
have TikTok.
okay, you just have Instagram. Okay, so
Yeah.
what is the, like, what are some of the themes that you like to really share and talk about on there and
Okay,
teach?
so yeah, my main, like if I had to say like, oh, I'm on here for a purpose, because I never tried to like build my Instagram, like truly, I had it when my son was born and it was like a digital photo book for me. So I started posting pictures and I'm pretty sure back then you couldn't make it like public or private. It was what it was and you posted. And then people just randomly started following at a very, very slow rate. But then, I just really started sharing our journey that God has us on, and that's when it kind of blew up. And so my main like thing with my Instagram, I guess I would say, is that I just want people to know that like life is hard and it's hard for every single one of us, but it can be easier. And that's by allowing, Jesus Christ into your life and following him and what he has for you. And again, it's not always going to be easier, but it is so much more rewarding. And I look at our old life and we thought that we had made it. You know what I mean? Like we had a brand new house and it was beautiful and, we had all of the things. And, but we didn't have that joy that he gives. We had the temporary happiness. And since moving out here, we have nothing. My husband doesn't make near as much as what he did. And we do struggle, like truly, but we are so much happier and we are so much more fulfilled than our old life that we had. So
Yeah,
we would do it all over again.
I think people conflate chasing money with happiness. I mean, once
Yeah.
you have enough money, you're gonna be happy, and that's never the way it is. It's whoever
Right.
you are right now is gonna be who you are enhanced with money, right? So if you have
Right.
bad habits now, or if you tend to have some bad views of the world or negativity, I mean, all that gets enhanced with money. Money just
Yes.
does not solve what people think it does, and
No.
so
Yeah.
searching within
Yeah.
it is the big part of life, what we're here for. And
Right.
I can't agree with you enough. I mean, that's once people kind of decouple from that world of chasing money and then do things
Yes.
that are they're passionate about. And not
Yes.
everyone can quit their jobs and move, right? We're not saying that. We're just saying,
Right. No.
We're just saying that basically, as long as you can find things that you're truly passionate about and you work on that
Right.
in your spare time and try to grow
Yeah.
that. I mean, and some people find it through faith, right? And faith is an important part. And people nowadays where there's just not enough faith in the world, right? And
Right.
I think that that's something that when people find that, it really opens their mind up to what's possible for joy and peace, right? And
Yeah.
patience and everything else that comes along with
Yeah.
it. So
Yeah.
I'm glad you're sharing that story with people. And I think that's why it resonates with them. Like a lot of people,
Right.
it's really unpopular out there nowadays to kind of like get out there and share your faith and your journey. But then secretly, all these people are following you because they need a piece of that in their life.
Right.
They may not be
Yeah.
willing to admit it openly to the world, but they're
Right.
living vicariously through you for the moment until they're courageous enough to do
Yeah.
it themselves,
You know,
so.
and honestly, it's been super rewarding for us too in sharing because, a lot of times we forget the little details, And so I have, highlights and I have it all documented and you know, all the things. And sometimes I can go back and it's really cool to see, like, oh, I forgot that, like, God lined this up or he did that. I mean, because we moved out here and my husband didn't even have a job, like nothing, you know what I mean? And he completely sustained us for a long time, and he still is sustaining us, but even more so back then. And it's just cool to see, you know, looking back how he's lined everything up. And I think that's what people appreciate, is because. I don't just share the fluff, like, oh, like God's done this. I've also shared, like, are we hearing God correctly? Like, did we mess up? What are we doing? Are we crazy? You know, like all of the things, because sometimes you do, you're like, what am I doing? But
Yeah, people need to
it
see.
always ends up good.
People need to see, I guess, your story. What's, I think, really important to people is that life can be messy,
Yeah.
and you're not just showing the highlight reel. Like most people on social media are just showing, oh, look at me, I'm next to a boat, or I'm on vacation, or I'm doing
Right,
this.
right.
That's 5% of people's
Yeah.
lives. You know, the other
Right.
95% is where the depth comes in, right?
Yeah.
You know,
Yeah.
spending every day with your family. You know, how many people can actually say that they're able to do that? You
Right.
know,
Yeah.
educating your children. I mean, most people send their kids off to school and
Right.
don't know what their kids are being taught. So being able to educate your children the way you want them
Yeah.
to be going off into the world, you know, I find that to be really
Yeah.
important.
It is so important. And honestly, when we started that journey, we started that before, when we were still in the old house. And again, I thought there's no way I can school my kids. You know what I mean? Like, and I was a preschool teacher, but that's like a whole different level. And that's other people's kids. It's not your own. And we just really felt like that's what God was calling us to do. And so we started with my two younger. And so it would have been preschool and kindergarten. And my one son was just starting second grade. And I was like, okay, we're not going to pull him out. He was in a private Christian school and we loved it. But I was like, we're just going to see how it goes with the two littles. So I did that. And we were a weekend. And I was like, nope, he's coming home. Like, this is for us. We are not turning back. Like,
Yeah,
and it's
absolutely.
been beautiful.
So what do we have working on for next year? I mean, what things do you want to teach, or what things do you want to like showcase, or like what are you excited about for projects?
Oh man, do you have all day? I'm so excited for next year, truly. So I am a do-it-yourselfer person, and I've been on this journey where I have started making all of our own bread. I don't buy that from the grocery store anymore at all. And I'm trying to master milling my own. I haven't completely taken that over yet, but I do mill most of everything other than our actual sandwich bread. I use freshly milled for, but I want to take on pasta. So for my birthday that I recently had, yeah, my husband and kids got me a pasta book, a pasta machine, like I don't know, all the things to be able to do that. I really want to focus on flowers as far as the garden goes. I did have them come up, but again, we got everything in so late this year, even later than what our late season is. So I did get some flowers, but not as good as I would like. And then animals. I want animals. Like, I want chickens, cows, you name it, bring it.
No, that's going to be exciting to see. I mean, I think people really want that content. They really want to see, they want to see the journey from like where you get a chicken, that either incubating the egg or you're getting the chicks, and then how you're storing them. And then I think a lot of people are wanting to see that journey until they're out there in your field and you're getting fresh eggs from them and stuff like that. So I think
Right.
that's
And I
going to be.
think the cool thing too about us is that most of the people we follow are already established homesteaders. You know what I mean? So like we're the very beginning. We have no clue what we're doing, you know? So we're building it from the ground up, which it's nice to have the people who are already established, but it's also nice to have someone who's at the very beginning and starting, you know what I mean? Because you don't know where to start a lot of times. So I think that's what draws a lot of people in.
And I mean, it's like the starting that's the hardest for people. Once you get started, it's like one foot in front of the other, you know, and you're kind of committed.
Yeah.
So that's gonna be exciting to see next year, the chicken piece. You know, also I think the flowers and everything else, I mean, I want to help you with that because like that's gonna attract more pollinators, it's gonna attract more honeybees. All that stuff's gonna be
Yeah.
incredible for what we're trying to work on. So
And that's a goal too, is we want bees for sure. So
Yeah, the bees, and a lot of times there's aviary people that can will drop off bees on your property if you ask them to.
okay,
So
nice.
it's something you can think of, but for beekeeping and
Yeah.
everything. So no, I'm really excited for next year based upon what you're talking about. So I mean, I wanted to at the end here, at least give everyone the ability to know how to find you and know how to find us. So where would they go to find you, and what's the name and everything?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram, and it's living_like_Randalls. Or you can just look up Tommy Randall and that'll pop up too. Okay. But yeah, we're over on Instagram. And if I could just say one thing, like if I have like, what I want to teach people, because we were kind of talking about that earlier, it would be do it and do it scared.
Yeah.
Because there's so much when you do something when you're afraid and you do it anyways that you get from that. And it's hard to put into words, but it's just like this, you know, satisfaction. And I feel like a lot of times you do better, you know, because you try harder, because you are fearful. So you, you know, look into things a little bit more and, you know, line things up a little bit better. But yeah, if I could teach, you know, anybody anything, it's just to do it and do it scared, because it's all going to work out.
It's going to work out. I mean, people have done it before. Many, many people.
Yes. And people with after. Less than what we have, you
exactly.
know. So it's like if they could do it back then, we can most certainly do it now with everything that we have.
Absolutely. So, I mean, I couldn't agree with you more on that. And I mean, that's kind of what I've been trying to teach people too, is that you're never going to learn unless you start. And
yes.
And that fear is just the fear of failure. You have to fail to learn, right?
Because you learn. Yes. Yes.
So that's an important part, you know, to leave everyone with, because start next year, right? Everyone just start. If you're afraid, start. If you have a small balcony, start with some small plants and kind of get your hands dirty, you know? So,
Because our last house was a small, we had a tiny, tiny backyard. So my husband just built a little square foot box for me, and I grew some, you know, carrots and tomatoes. And I mean, it was very small scale, but we did it, you know what I mean? And
absolutely.
You can do it in any situation. You just have to want to do it is the thing.
Got to start someday. Why not tomorrow? You know, so, I mean, I really appreciate you coming on and spending time with us today.
Oh,
I know we're going to do another one of these as we get to maybe late May and June, because we're going to want to talk.
Okay.
We're going to want to show people kind of what we're working on. So I want everyone to know that Tommy's going to be back with me probably once the gardening season kicks off. And once the weather obviously improves. And then, for us, Green Grow, you know where to find us at the Green Grow on Instagram. We also have Green Grow Biologicals on YouTube. And we have a website, thegreengrow.com. And Tommy is going to be also offering up discount codes throughout the season through her page for Green Grow. So if everyone's looking for a way to start and get a head start with some discounts, Tommy's going to be one of our partners for next year. So thank you again so much for that. And everyone listening, this is Mark with Green Grow, the Regenerate Revolution podcast, where we talk about life, soil, and success. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode on the Regenerate Revolution Life, Soil, Success podcast. Do not forget to leave us a 5-star rating, review, like, comment, and share with your friends.